The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your still alive host, John Stadtmiller, on this Monday, 15th day of April, 2019. Oh, happy tax day. Steve Elkins, are you there?
I am here.
Well, I'm hyped up on double pumped up 5-hour energy, double strength, and about 3 cups of coffee, and I'm just... Yeah. You know, I figured out this stuff almost killed Vince Fanelli.
Yes, it did.
And guess where I started having a few problems? We visited a farm over Christmas time, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah. This stuff.
You're thinking about that right now?
Yes.
Because I never thought about that.
There because I'm sitting here and I'm busy buzz. I'm hyped up on, you know, vitamin B1 and 12 and caffeine and all that stuff. And I think I'm good to go for at least 2 hours. But my head, it's like I've been sitting around drinking cocktails all evening with you. The mind's not clear.
Gentleman Jack.
Well, whatever. Whatever the alcoholic preference is. But this is just a warning to folks out there. This is nothing to screw around with. If you think you got a cold and it starts to move into your lungs, beware. Because if it doesn't kill you, it's going to take 4 to 6 weeks for you to live through this. And what it is, I went to one of these health people, the end around the healthcare system we have in this country. And this was a nurse, right, that you found?
No, you said it was a... physician's assistant.
No, you said. You're the one that set it up. Physician's assistant. No, they're registered nurses, but they're physician assistants. Okay. And I never knew that physician assistants that were only licensed to be RNs could write scripts. But at any rate, nurse practitioner. You found the guy up here near Round Rock, and I went out to see him. They put me on a broad-spectrum antibiotic and steroids. Steroids is to clear out the lungs. But I'm telling you, this is nothing to screw around with. It's bacterial infection, but it's also got viral components. So the idea behind this is to clear out the lungs because this is the breeding ground. You know, what are lungs? You know, little encased, moist, dark areas. It's this fun factory for breeding stuff. So the steroids to clear out the lungs. And then the antibiotics to go after the bacterial infection. And if you're lucky, you survive it and you live through it. But my warning to people out there is this stuff can literally kill you. It damn near killed Vince Fanelli. His wife got it, his sons got it, and it was bad. And thank God, Vince is all right. But it took him, are you ready for this, folks? 1.5 years to beat it. 1.5 years. And that was under constant medical supervision. So just a note to those folks out there, I've been off for 2 weeks. You know, if it wasn't for a calendar, I wouldn't even know what the hell day it was. So there's a lot to cover being absent for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. In any rate, I'm sure you all have heard out there. The Notre Dame building over there in Paris, France, burnt down. Jeez, old Pete. During a renovation of the main spire, and what I did not know is the entire interior of that place was basically wood. I'm thinking to myself, how can a 900-year-old building burn down? Well, it did. So at any rate, we had an observed religious holiday yesterday, and it's kind of ironic that Notre Dame burns down today. But at any rate, doesn't look like it was any hanky-panky. It's just a renovation that went wrong, and the place burnt down. And people are kind of shocked because, 900 years of looking at a building, it's there, and now it's not there. People have a problem when their institutions go bye-bye. But in this country, we've got institutions we wish would go bye-bye, but they're running and controlling everything, at any rate. Where do you want to start here? We've got a two-week gap.
Well, I'd say, first of all, that the guy that started that fire, he's in trouble. He's in some serious, serious trouble.
Well, I don't know whether he started it intentionally or didn't. My thought was exactly the same as yours. I'd be packing my bag and getting out of Dodge right now.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? Yeah, I'm the one responsible for burning this thing then.
900.
Hey, I've got a question for you, though, real quick before we start anything. Yeah. Because you're kind of a smart guy, right? Mm. And I mean that in an intellectual way, not like a smart-ass kind of guy, but you're a smart guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Was that a rhetorical question didn't require my answer? Or was it statement?
I was talking to our good host there, Keith Rogers, and he made a comment, and I said, you're right. What is the motto of a casino? What do they always say? The house always wins, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So just the great businessman that Donald Trump is, being in the gaming industry and hotels and casinos, how is it possible? If the house always wins, how does a guy who owns casinos go belly up and have to be bailed out? How does that work?
It's called bad business decisions and overextending yourself.
I was just wondering, because he's right. The house always wins. I'm watching, before I came on air here, I'm watching Casino, one of your favorite movies, De Niro.
It is? Where the hell are you getting this stuff from?
You've talked about Casino before. Actually,
but I've never made it. See, you add things. It's not my favorite movie.
Well, no, you're right. Your favorite.
I'm familiar with the movie. Okay.
Steel Magnolias, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, God. It's a good
thing. Brokeback Mountain.
It's a good thing you're in Florida. But your point is?
Point is, Mr. Moneymaker there, and how is it possible? The casino always wins. The house always wins. How does he make such bad decisions? And of course, he's running the country now, and we like to believe he's doing the right things. And I what did you give him, a D- last night, or D for a grade right now?
I didn't give him any grade.
I gave him a grade D- right now. He's approaching F if he gets us into a war.
The same thing that happened with his casinos and the economic environment surrounding that is surrounding the entire country, and he's now president. The reason why the casinos didn't succeed is because there was less and less people that would go in and be willing to gamble what money they had left. Okay? Same way the country is right now. The money that people have is not disposable income. That's going to paying for housing, and that's paying for food and things of that nature. The economy is not great, and they're trying to fake it until you make it. Now, Donnie dear, if the economy collapses between now and 2020, I don't think Mr. Trump is going to have a second chance at another term. But it's the problem that keeps growing, that everybody is whistling through the graveyard here, hoping nobody notices. Mm-hmm. That this debt creation in this country, we're living on borrowed money. And nobody is willing, and nobody is able, I guess, to speak out against it. In the mainstream media, they're all just, looking at each other going, okay, who's going to be the first one to have their head lopped off for telling the truth? And again, if you take a look, and we've got stories posted on the website, store closures this year is going to outstrip those in 2018. Store closures, hundreds of thousands of people losing their jobs. And again, I will reiterate, the last figure that I saw that bricks and mortar retail is losing to online sales, Amazon, doesn't matter how big they are, is how many people participating in it, is still around 14%. So that is what the brick and mortar people have lost, 14%. That's survivable, except for one thing. You're not going to survive in a brick and mortar establishment with the lights and the heat and the employees and the inventory and all that other stuff if you don't have people coming in your place of business making purchases so they can profit, so they can keep going. That's what the problem is. And kind of in microcosm, that's the same thing that happened with Donald Trump. He extended himself, built these wonderful casinos, and you know what? There's a bunch of crazy people with crazy money. But they're not that crazy to spend their last buck on a roll of a dice or a flip of a card. So, having said that, that satisfy your curiosity?
Yeah, it does. Okay. It does. I don't know. I'm kind of worried.
All right. A couple of things I talked to you earlier today about. Julian Assange. Now, we know that the Ecuadorian government said, okay, you're no longer welcome in our embassy over in London. And there was a little deal that just happened about the exact same time, Steve. What was that?
$4.2 billion by the IMF paid to Ecuador in order to have him released and turned over to the Brits. A guaranteed loan. $4.2 billion.
Now, what was not in the news that France actually offered him asylum. Now, that was not reported in the news. Yeah. And for what they're going after Julian Assange is what?
They're going after him for hacking, right?
Which he didn't do.
Right.
And I'm amazed here. I am literally amazed of some of the people that are coming out in support, well, not necessarily in support saying that hands off Julian Assange, what you're doing is wrong, but we remember, what was that, waterfall? No, Watergate. Remember that? Remember the Washington Post that they dug out the story? Well, the U.S. is respecting the First Amendment freedom of the press and only prosecuting Assange for hacking. Now, the criminal indictment, Steve, against Assange focuses on his alleged conspiracy with Chelsea Manning to hack a Department of Defense password. Now, there's a lot of language complaining about standard journalism practiced by Assange. Now, the New York Times national security reporter, Scott Shane, he said, even as some of the commentators say that Assange is charged, this isn't about journalism. The indictment is written to make it about journalism. Now, here comes the Washington Post. Columnist Margaret Sullivan. She said the indictment discusses journalistic practices in the context of criminal conspiracy, using encryption, making efforts to protect a source's identity, and source cultivation, said University of Georgia media law professor Jonathan Peters. Those practices, he told me, are not only routine and lawful, they're best practices for journalists. Protect your sources. News organizations now provide secure drop boxes for sources. You don't even have to show up and identify yourself. There's a drop box. You got some hot item? Drop it on the box. We'll take a look at it. We don't even need to know who you are. Now, they wisely use encryption applications such as Signal to converse with and receive information from sources. That these practices are cast as part of a conspiracy should worry all journalists, whether or not Assange himself is seen as a journalist. The risk to news organizations of prosecuting them remain very real. New Yorkers, I mean, these are not bastion of strict constitutional, not cross those line publications, folks. New Yorker said, in explaining the charges against Assange, the indictment's manner and means of the conspiracy selection or section describes many actions that are clearly legitimate journalistic practices, such as using encrypted messages, cultivating sources, and encouraging those sources to provide more information. It cites a text exchange in which Manning told Assange, after this upload, and I'm quoting Manning, after this upload, that's all I really have got left. And Assange replied, curious eyes never seem to run dry in my experience. It's part of a crime. The authorities might have to start building more jails to hold more reporters. Now, the indictment and some of the commentary it engendered also makes much of the fact that Assange offered to try to crack a computer password for Manning. The Department of Justice claims that this action accounted to Assange engaging in hacking conspiracy. Even some independent commentators have suggested it went beyond the bounds of legitimate journalism and the protections of the First Amendment. Now, folks, keep in mind as we're discussing this, I don't know what constitution Australia has, and Julian Assange is not protected by our First Amendment. That's one thing to keep in mind. Now, Rafi, and I hope I don't butcher this too bad, Khachaturian, who has written extensively about Assange, pointed out, as of now, it looks like Assange didn't do much, if anything, to crack any password once Manning sent the encrypted version. In other words, Manning sent him a encrypted version of the information he had, and evidently Julian Assange already had the encryption key, or Manning supplied it. Manning didn't ask him to crack any codes. He sent the stuff over to him and said, here, here's your little zip drive, and this is the password, and have at it. Now, this is, I'll stop here, because journalist after journalist, publications that we've seen go far, far to the left, are now starting to realize what's at stake here. It's our First Amendment. It's our ability, Steve, to know what the government's up to. They've been hiding a lot under the security of national, the national security blanket. They have been doing a lot of things to keep their criminality and their mode of operation under wraps. They didn't appreciate Snowden. They certainly didn't appreciate WikiLeaks. I mean, what was the crime that Snowden committed?
He told on the Surveillance Act, what was being done on Americans, normal law-abiding Americans being spied upon.
Now, he might have been in violation of the contract, because he was a private contractor that went to work for the government.
Yes.
He found out this stuff was going on, and he said, wow, this people have to know about, and this has got to be stopped. Now, Snowden, going into this thing, Steve, he knew the price he was going to have to pay, and he did it willingly, because it was such an affront of what the government was doing, spying on everybody, kind of like what they did with Donald Trump and the DNC and snooping and pooping and a Republican and trying to dig up dirt and everything else and having the intelligence agencies fronting off as if there was some kind of crime that was committed. It's all falderal. And what is scary about this, if we have no First Amendment or protections thereof, then what else? Second Amendment? If we have time, we'll get into that today. The guy in Pittsburgh, the mayor of Pittsburgh, said, I don't care about a constitution. We're going to take your semi-automatic weapons and your large-capacity magazines. That's because they have figured out that as long as they run things as a democracy and might have 51% of the people going, yeah, that's not too bad of an idea, they're going to move ahead with it. Time was in this country, you violated the rights of people and your oath of office, more importantly, your oath of office. You might have been run out of town on a rail. You might have been tarred and feathered, and those feathers might have been lit. But now, it's like, they did this story, had this mayor on CNN, and the commentator said, well, you know, it looks like it might have to be up to the cities to service their communities to make up their own rules. What that talking head just said, that it's okay to violate the inviolate, and keep in mind, folks, the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution, it's hands off. Don't even come close. Don't even think about touching them. But now it's just okay as long as you can go to your constituency and go, okay, we're going to have a vote here. We're going to vote you out of this right. We're going to vote you out of that right. Once that is cracked, once that starts to slide down the road to hell, there's no stopping it. Now, the NRA, as much as I trust these people, the NRA is at least suing the mayor of Pittsburgh. But what if they weren't? And if you were to keep your firearms out of the hands of the Gestapo coming to collect them, what would you have to do to maintain ownership? Uh-oh. Art and Harley, I'll take your calls after this break.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Take down, break down, take down. Everybody walks into the crowded line. Break down, take down. You busted, busted. Shake down, break, break down, take down. Just about the time you think it's all right. Break down, take down, shake down. You busted.
All right, we're back. Art, you're up.
Hey guys, how y'all doing today?
I don't know, but if you're on a speakerphone, get off of it.
Okay, is that better? I'm trying to clean my stove while I'm doing this, so.
Okay, well, take a break from the house cleaning, and what's on your mind, Art?
You brought up the Second Amendment there. That's not what I called in about, but I tell you what, if anybody ever shows up here looking to get my guns, I hope somebody out there cares enough to sell everything I got from a cremation and, I don't know, toss me off in a ditch somewhere, because I ain't giving up my guns.
Well, and that's what they're hoping for, because they'll send as many soldiers out to collect your guns as necessary, and you're going to build a case by resisting what they consider to be lawful.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I called in about was you had mentioned earlier the banks,
mm-hmm.
and it got me thinking about a conversation I had with a buddy of mine. Now, I'm getting ready to go in for spine surgery on the first of the month. So I got a buddy travels all the way from Kansas to come back here and help me out while I'm recovering from this.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'll have another spinal surgery late in the fall as I am able to handle another surgery. So we're talking two surgeries just this year alone. And, you know, I'm talking with him, and I'm explaining, you know, the topic of banks and the creation of money came up. And I explained to him how, you know, money comes into being and how, you know, the government will go and say, hey, Federal Reserve, we need $10 billion, and the Federal Reserve will create most of it out of digits, but they'll print up some of it for a total of $10 billion, mm-hmm. loan it to the government at whatever percentage mm-hmm. interest rate. And, you know, that puts us on the hook for the interest. The problem is you can never pay off the interest. All you can do is pay off the principal. And he says, why not? And I said, well, they created $10 billion to loan $10 billion. How are you going to pay back, just say, for example, 10%, which is $1 billion, or $1 billion? How are you going to pay off that interest when that money was never created? You see what I'm saying? And, you know, after I spent about 15 minutes explaining this to him, you know, he looks me straight in the face. Now, this guy's 79 years old, and he remembers silver certificates. He remembers when it used to say on the bill, redeemable at the Federal Reserve.
He's old enough to remember when the coins were in his pocket were
right.
majority silver. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And you know what he told me, John? Mm. He said, and I explained to him, it doesn't take any more, it costs the exact same amount of money, whatever few pennies it is, to print up a $1 bill as it does to print up a $100 bill. I said, so what makes that $100 bill more valuable than the $1 bill, except for your stupid belief that it's actually worth something when it's not backed by anything? He looked me straight in the face, John, and he says, well, you know, as long as I can go down and get $100 worth of merchandise for that bill, I don't care.
And
this is what we're up against, people.
Well,
this is what we're facing.
Well, yeah, we have stupid people out there. But the remnants, unlike your 79-year-old friend here, the remnants are dying off that remember the days of the silver certificates and actually remember silver coinage in this country. You know, that didn't happen because the banks were, or the government was honest or whatever the case may be. That's the way things were done. But
right.
thanks to the banks and the thirst that the government has for spending money that they shouldn't be, being involved in things they shouldn't be, they always need more cash. And
yeah.
this thing, and you're exactly right, I mean, this thing is going to come down to we're way overextended and we can't touch the principal, and the debt keeps climbing and climbing and climbing. In the meantime, Art, well, what is the government doing? How is it acting? It's acting like it can continue to borrow. There's no budget cuts. There's no nothing.
Yeah.
You know, there's
oh,
no.
Yeah, I even explained to him how every year they vote to raise the debt ceiling.
Absolutely.
And I explained to him, you know, from the moment of birth, the moment you're born, you're immediately taxed with a percentage of, like, however many thousands of dollars you're already on the hook for, and you ain't even got your first diaper yet. You know, and I explained all of this to him, everything that you just said, just then.
Mm-hmm.
I explained all of this to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got children, he's got grandchildren, he's got great-grandchildren. I'm like, dude, yeah, okay, I get it. You don't expect to live another 5 years or whatever. I said, but don't you think you owe it to your children, your grandchildren, and your great grandchildren.
Not if you're
not if you're a
narcissistic, just me, and I don't care about anything else. Really, that's when you pose it that way to people. And Steve and I had a conversation about this during the first gun grab go around under the Clinton administration and Attorney General Janet Reno. I was going into police stations sometimes in wee hours of the morning to talk to chiefs of police or assistant chiefs of police about gun confiscation and how we're going to react to it. Wasn't exactly a comfortable situation for myself.
No.
But a lot of these guys, listen to me, a lot of these guys are going, well, I'm just a few years from retirement. And, you know, and I'm not going to do anything to endanger that. Do you have children? Well, yeah, of course I do. So what are you consigning your kids to? A brand new sort of game in town? And I would call them cowards to their faces.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, anyway, thanks, John. Have a great one, man.
All right.
Take
thanks,
care,
sir.
Steve.
Good luck with those surgeries. I hope it worked as well for is going to work as well for you as it did for Tiger Woods.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Art. We'll take the break. Harley in Indiana will take your call next.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Harley in Indiana. Hello, Harley.
Hello, John.
Hi.
I'd just like to comment, if I might, a minute on your thoughts on gambling and Trump. In 1976, the state of Indiana put gambling on the bill, on the vote, because it was unconstitutional, the state of Indiana. Anyway, they legalized it, and I moved where I'm at, you know, 15 years ago. There's a store in town that was around for about 25 years. And the guy went to the, you know, casinos and ended up becoming addicted to gambling. And in Indiana now, since they started it, like 10 years later, they had to establish a gambling anonymous because so many people were addicted to it and were losing everything they had. And anyway, this man lost his store after 25 years, sold it. The gentleman put him to work as running the store because he'd been there for so many years. And he took $50,000 out of the cashier one night and took it up to the casino and lost every penny of it. Because he was so addicted to gambling.
Yeah.
And today, of course, him and his wife are literally on the street. They have nothing, whereas he was very well-to-do.
You mean his wife is on the street with him? No, they're for richer for poorer, I guess.
They were married,
wow.
You know. So I'm assuming. I don't really know. Maybe he has a house. I don't know. I don't know the man. I just know what happened, you know. And anyway, when it was on the ballot in 76, I well commented, I voted against it because I told people, there's going to be children going shoeless because their mom and dad will take the paycheck on payday and spend every dollar of it at the casino.
You know, when you have the sales team out there from Madison Avenue selling you the American dream and telling you that you need it and you need it right now, they got their noses pressed up against the glass. They're looking in the bakery store and they're just salivating. They want some of it. So they're going to take the easiest path that they can figure out to get there to get their riches. And that's a shame. That's a shame. Sane people will.
It is.
Sane people that do gamble. And I guess it's an enjoyable pastime if you have the money to lose. But the sane gambler will set a limit as to how much he's willing to risk, you know, that risk-reward equilibrium
yes.
there. They will. There's their cutoff. If they happen to get lucky to beat the house, if that's possible, yeah. Well, then you take your money. I'll be honest with you. I used to go down to Florida. And on my way down to Florida, I never paid for any road trips because I would hit the gambling joints in Louisiana, and I'd walk in that place, and I would make enough money to pay for my trip down and back. And that would be it. I wouldn't give a damn if I was on a hot streak or not. I would get up from the table, and I would walk away. I used that as a service to myself. But you're right.
Yes.
There's people out there.
I lived in Vegas for 3 years.
Yeah, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Never gambled.
Hey, I got a question for Harley. Harley, I got yes. a question for you. My mom lives in Indiana, and how long after the state lottery came in, how long did it take before the casinos came after that?
Well, it was immediately. I mean, you know, as soon as they could get them certified and licensed, just kind of the marijuana in Michigan, you know, as soon as they could get the places licensed, and then, of course, they had to, I'm assuming, build the ships, but maybe they had the ships sitting out, because at that time, they had to be on the lake. They could not be
right.
They couldn't be ashore. People had to come onto the boats.
Yeah, that's.
And they had to go out to the lake and so many miles, and then they could get.
It's like in the old days.
Couldn't do it on shore.
That's like in the old days with the Mississippi gambling boats. You know, the paddle wheelers
yes,
that roll up and down.
And then they moved it on the shore.
Yep.
And now they're wanting to bring the horse gambling or whatever it is on TV or something. I think they want to legalize it to bring it on TV. Something they're trying to do where they want to expand the gambling. And, of course, you know, the money was originally supposed to go to the roads and to the schools, and we'd never have to raise taxes on property for the schools.
Yeah.
Well, of course, money's gone. Nobody has any idea where it goes. There's no accounting. There's nothing. It just, you know, nobody gets any money.
Well, no matter how you look at this, the game in town is how to tax. They call it different things.
Oh, absolutely.
They call it different things under different names. With the banking system we have, with the interest, you know, the money managers that we've had in our midst and emptying out the coffers for over 100 years, that's a tax. One way to look at that, that's a tax. And people are always looking to raise revenue, and they don't care where it comes from. They don't care how immoral or illegal it might be. If it's illegal, let's legalize it. Because you know what? We can do good things with the money that we'll make. Forget the fact that you're eroding, you know, the continuity of your society or your social network or your values or anything else. It doesn't matter. Now it's money.
I'd like to make two more quick comments, John.
Yeah.
One is on you were just speaking of the government and these people. And I wanted to make a reference to one of your things you have on the, you know, on the internet type thing, to the true fourth branch of government, the grand jury. Mm. I don't know exactly where it's located on there, but I know I downloaded it a long time ago and locked it in because I agree with it. And they talk about how the common law grand jury needs to prosecute, be re-instructed. And of course, we know what's going on with that. Yeah. But another thing I want to comment real quick, John, was, and I'm from the 70s, so I'm going to say it this way. The queer, the faggot, homo, LGB, he's a Harvard graduate. He's a doctorate from Oxford. He's a Rhodes Scholar, knighted by the Queen. He's a married, faggot, queer, LGB member. And, of course, he declared his candidacy for America on Sunday.
Oh, we're talking about the guy that made the comment that by marrying my husband, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. And then he mentioned something about God. Is that the same guy?
Okay, the Austin mayor, you know, from Texas, introduced him.
Okay, what's the guy's name? Adler?
I honestly don't know. I wasn't paying that much attention. I was just kind of listening to see what was being said.
Right.
But this guy said, I wish I could remember what that guy from Texas said. I know what he said. He said, this man is of high moral character. Type thing. And I'm sitting there choking, you know, and laughing.
Mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well,
so,
anyway,
the guy says, the mayor from South Bend makes the statement. He says, when I was in the military and they said he was a lieutenant in Afghan, he was in Afghan, you know, about 6 years ago, he was a lieutenant in intelligence. So he's a military intelligence man, okay? And he said, I took an oath to defend this democracy of America type thing. Not exact words, but he said he took an oath to the democracy.
Mm-hmm. what democracy is it? I want to see the script on that oath.
Here's his freedom, John. And I'll let you go pretty quick. But here's his freedom. Medicare is freedom. Abortion is freedom. I mean, just unbelievable. All these things are freedom. You know?
Yeah.
Taking of our guns would be freedom, the way he talks. This guy is a serious contender, probably, for the White House. They claim he is now number three in the ranks as far as the polls go.
Yeah.
The White House.
They're picturing him
as a white Obama.
Oh, boy. Well, that's nice.
Anyway, I'll stop, John.
Well, even Obama had the sense to keep his homosexuality under wraps now, didn't he?
Well, this guy had his husband, a man, come on the stage when it was over with and embraced him, and they kissed.
Wonderful.
Honestly,
men
God,
swapping.
When that happened, I hit the button.
Men swapping spit on stage. Isn't that wonderful? Thanks for your call, Harley. I appreciate it. Well, Steve, I guess in the decline of the Roman Empire, didn't Caligula want his horse to run for the Senate or something? Yeah. Nothing lasts forever. But we've only been around for a couple hundred years, and what we were based on versus where we're at right now. Wow, this wasn't a slope into hell. This was a nosedive.
Yeah.
So we're going to legitimize everything. And why is the government in there? And why are they protecting this and promoting it? We got something very wrong here.
There's something going on.
Yeah, I I've read the Constitution more than once, and I didn't see in there that the government should be out there promoting homosexuality in the public school system that we have to pay for. Well, that's how the story goes. And to elevate this status to normalcy and then pass laws because you say something publicly against it. Isn't that a violation of the First Amendment?
It surely is.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah.
It surely is. Interesting. I won't say interesting times. These are bizarre times. I would have never, in my wildest dreams, thought we'd be here at this time in history to say we would be. The whole homosexuality agenda, the whole thing is just, it's bizarre. It's bizarre. Our children are being indoctrinated. They're being taught very, very young. And they know that they're wasting their time on you and I, John. They're wasting their time. They're going to mold the children the
That's
way
right.
they want them. And this is a big agenda. And it starts with the children, because they're not going to touch my thinking. I think you and I, John, we agree on the same thing. I don't care what you do in your bedroom. That's your business. I don't care. It shouldn't even be an issue to talk about, but, playing this race card, this discrimination card, is profitable, and with that comes special benefit in profit, and that's exactly what's being done here. It's an agenda to be special, and special means I get something else, and I'm kind of tired of it. I really am. And the agenda is growing and growing. It could only be a cover up. I think think it's, personally, I think it's a cover-up for many, many prominent politicians who have dirt on them, and simply now they're playing the game of, well, now it's normal. It's a normal way of life. It's accepted. And I remember once in school, it was in high school, my teacher said, "What is normal?" He asked me, what is normal to the whole class? And he finally said, well, everybody got these different answers, and he threw them around. He said, "What is normal is what society accepts. And what is happening right now is this big push to make it all very acceptable, very normal, mm-hmm. and basically nullifying everything else is about basically not being normal. This is normal, and you know, and you should experiment with your sexuality. You should challenge this."
Oh, yeah.
And the whole transgender thing in the mm-hmm. bathrooms. It's sickening. It's mm-hmm. sickening. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, and again, let me go back to what I said a while ago about perception becoming people's reality. Now, what you're describing there, okay, we got a new game in town. Experiment with your sexuality. Take the family unit, just throw it in a dumpster. You know, go for it, please yourself, do whatever you want. To the detriment of the glue that holds society together. Okay, you do all that stuff. Okay, fine. And then what? You don't see a downside to this. And, you know, to make it even, to underscore this, to, you know, to let you know how serious we really are about enforcing this, well, let's start passing hate crime laws. That now that you see this debauchery, this cancer rotting right in front of your face, if you publicly say something about it, guess what? You're going to have the full force of the federal government down on you. What did they just do over in jolly old England? What did they just do over there, folks? Well, let me tell you what they did. The British government has come out and told the people over there that said, look, you can't talk about, even privately among yourselves, you can't talk about anything that we might consider, like, say, on the issue of injections, all these drugs that are being peddled. I'm stalling here to try to find the story. You're not helping. I'm not 100% here, Steve. Help me.
I am. You're leading to that clip, right, from Atkinson?
No, probably. I'm not leading. I'm leading to the clip of the point
he was talking about the freedom of speech and... Okay, he was talking about freedom of speech and hate speech, and that was a good clip. Okay.
No. Here it is. Health Freedom Alert. It's a Health Freedom Alert. What they're saying over in England right now is you can't question the vaccine policies. If you do, you're going to have the government coming down on you. And that is exactly what's happening. Britain is to ban everyone from privately discussing vaccine ingredients, side effects, and damage to children. They're now criminalizing that conversation. Wow. Now, how is that possible? How is that possible? Where's the balance? Where is it that something is going on that needs to be questioned? You need to have public discourse about it. You need to publicly raise the awareness of the public that we got a problem here and we need to discuss it. It's not there anymore. You're a hateful person.
Well, you know, just the very idea of telling you can't talk about this is, to me, a red flag to say, why not? What are you covering up? What are you hiding that we're not allowed to even to question or even talk about it? And that's the red flag I see. When somebody says, well, that's hate speech, and I don't want you talking about that, well, then the first thing I would say was, why don't you want to talk about it? Because this is very serious, and I'm going to debate my side, and you do your side, and let's see if we can come together. And they don't want to debate the issues because there is a cover-up.
Well, according to Britain's new plan here, the government czar will ensure that social media companies, they're doing the following. Stop cyberbullying on their platforms. Stop the incitement of violence and spread of violent content. Block children's access to inappropriate material. Block content that encourages self-harm or suicide. Stop child exploitation and abuse content. Stop the spread of disinformation and fake news. Now, what can you throw into the last category? Anything they don't like. Right. And this is endangering the public because this just hateful, critical information out there. It's just people that just hate and they just don't want to have, they don't want to go along to get along. Now, folks, you know, England, they saw fit to do away with guns for their people. They saw fit to harangue them with the national health care that's costing them dearly. They're trying to do the same thing here. We got Mitch McConnell that still wants to fix Obamacare rather than turn this over to the free market the way it made it work before. This is a $1 trillion a year industry. And there are people out there that want to protect that and they want to enrich themselves off of it over your dead body if necessary. Has it gone far enough yet, Steve?
No. My question to you is, who has given them the right to be the deciders and make the criteria for what's offensive and what's hate speech? Everybody can go in that direction saying, I find that offensive, but who gives them the right to decide?
A government that knows no limits and no... we can because we can.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I've got to take a little time, a little time to think things over.
Steve.
Yes, sir.
Is
Mike there today?
Yes, he.
I'm talking to him. He's not coming back and forth to me. Okay.
Well, no, that's because he gets up during breaks.
Okay.
He's not there to hear you. But you can communicate by way of that keyboard thing.
I did. That's what I'm doing.
Well, but you got to be there to read it. If a tree falls in a forest, if nobody's there, does it make a sound?
I think that's what we have here.
I think you're right. Folks, being off at the network, this was not of my choosing. And I'll tell you what, the network needs some money. And there's no, I'm not going to butter this thing up. I'm not going to, I was on your show yesterday for, I think, all of 3 or 4 minutes. And I had to stop an automatic deduction from the bank account for our Vonage phone system. That if I don't replace that money here really quick, the phones are going to get cut off. we got things that we paste in here from time to time. You notice we haven't been hitting the donation button for you guys out there because if we have the money to pay the bills, we don't ask you because we know that the money is better spent by the people that, well, if it belongs to you. But we got a problem here because across the board, things aren't working out too well. GCN is on the ropes right now. They're asking their host to pay money to be on their network. And we operated on the principle here that this isn't a volunteer organization. People have committed to do programming, and they're there every single day, every day, day in and day out. And we've even had people suggest that, well, you know, maybe you can run the place by volunteers. If you've got payroll, maybe we can have volunteers come in. Well, you volunteer for something, you know, how much are you down really with it? Oh, I got to take off next week because, you know, I got to go see Grandma. It's her birthday. In other words, consistency, folks. Day in and day out, we've got to be there. We've got to have the personnel there. The biggest expense to this network is the board ops that connect you, the public, to the talk show host on this network. And they wear many different hats. Trust me. Radio stations alone have budgets that blow this network away because, well, they've got an engineer in there, and they got a board operator, and they got a call screener, and they've got the lawyer sitting on standby, and a guy walking around in a suit. Nobody could ever figure out what the hell his job was, but he got a pretty penny by way of compensation for whatever he does, standing around looking real good. Point being, we've stripped this thing down to the bones to make it functional and consistent every single day. And sometimes we can patch things up there, and that patch doesn't last for long. That falls out, and we've got to throw something else up there. But, folks, we have told you continually that the situation has not changed since 2008. And as a matter of fact, it's deteriorated. It's to the point now that even GCN is asking their host to pay the bill for their network, of which I'm not going to do here because these people show up every single day. It's a trade-off for their intellectual property and them doing a show every single day. That's the trade-off. We give them the service. They give you the information. That's the deal. We've pared it down as much as we can. The operating budget's about $11,500 a month, and we're about a month behind right now. And these 2 weeks that yours truly was out, it didn't help the situation. So this is what we're going to ask you to do today. And I know you want to. The question is, will you? Kill that music. I'm going to run this right up to the top of the hour. Whew. Let me catch my breath here. Give us a call here at this network, 800-724-2719. Secretary has agreed to stay over, hit extension 1, talk to Julie. Or if Mike, do you want to get paid tomorrow? He's shaking his head. You can't hear it, folks, but he's shaking his head. Or extension 3, 800-724-2719, extension 1 or extension 3. Give us a call. Make a good donation today. Keep us on the air. We got things plugging in that's only going to pay off in the future here, but it ain't going to pay the bills. And once we get unplugged, we're not going to be able to come up with the money to plug it all back in. We've been there for you every single day. We've been there consistently. We've given you the best information that we know how to. And we're one of the last bastions out there, folks. Everything else out there is falling apart. Keep this network on the air. Okay? Call us, 800-724-2719, extension 1, talk to Julie, extension 3, talk to Mike. We'll tell you how you can also donate to the network after the top of the hour break. We'll be back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.